Mike. I love this church. I love the McSwiggins, most of them. And I'm thankful to be here and be able to teach this morning. We had a great VBS. A lot of kids I got to see year after year, which is exciting. I like to see that, them keep coming and understand what it is to know the Savior. And there's a lot of kids in that group that are really close and are extremely close. And I get to teach downstairs today. So, Lord willing, we're going to have a full bus. They promised me that every single one of them that were on the bus today are going to come yesterday. We're going to come back. So, Lord willing, that's why we stayed, is for them. But today I want to look at a few verses in the Bible in Luke 17. Luke 17, and we're going to start in verse 11. We're going to look at 11 to 19. I was told that I have an hour, so I have to fill a full hour. This is going to be slow talking. So I want to look at this on how grateful really are we? How grateful are we as people? How thankful are we as people? I teach our teens every week, and every week we do a slideshow. I think for them it really kind of keeps their attention span. It keeps them thinking. We put some funny pictures up. We try to be politically as correct as we can be, but we have fun in our classes. And when I think of this, and I've taught this a couple times in different churches, and it really kind of brings me back to really how thankful am I? How thankful am I that what God has done for me? When we even looked at the VBS and look what God, Jesus Christ, did for us on the cross. The cross that he had to bear, the pain, the suffering, and even the way that he died on the cross. You know, that is the worst, most cruel punishment that you can die from, is suffocation. And that's exactly what happened. And so when we look at that, we look at a measure. I look at Mrs. McS. She made us some great meals, and I'm sure she had to measure some things out. Because you can't just throw everything in a pot and cook and it turns out great. I've tried that. It doesn't work. And you know, if we looked at it this morning on a weight scale on our thankfulness, if we looked at that, how thankful are we? Where is your scale of thankfulness? And I think it's always good that we get brought back. We kind of get in the mundane, yes, I'm saved, I know I am, I'm going to heaven, and yeah, I'm thankful that I have food. And it seems to be always the same repetitious prayer. You know, it seems it doesn't change. We pray for our food, and you know, are we thankful for the clothes that we have? Are we thankful that we have a building to meet in? Are we thankful that we have a pastor that, I look at my pastor, I look at Pastor Mike as well, that dropped everything. They both had great paying jobs, and the Lord called them to be in ministry, to take a huge pay cut and to deal with people. And ministry is great, and then you add people to it, and it becomes trying at times. It does. And I'm thankful for my pastor. I'm thankful for Pastor Mike that dropped everything to do what the Lord asked him to do. But in Luke 17 and verse 10, it says, verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers and stood afar off. So lepers were in their own area. They weren't intermixed with everybody else in the community. They were set away from family. They were set away from friends. They were set away from their church. They were set out in their own little community, basically just to die. So, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It's interesting that all 10 knew of Jesus. All 10 of them knew. They seen the shape that they were in. They seen what they needed. But most important, they seen who they needed. I find that interesting. And verse 14, and when they saw them, he said unto them, go show thyselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. He wasn't quiet. Okay, we get loud at football games. We get loud at hockey games. We get loud at baseball games. When we come to church, we sit like wooden pews. We don't get loud. I'm not saying scream out and shout and everything, but I'm sure this pastor would love to hear an amen every once in a while. Because I know ours is. But it says that with a loud voice, they glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But are there 9? Where are not found that return to him to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go that way. Thy faith had made thee whole. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you help me right now, Lord, to say what you'd have me to say and leave out the words. And Lord, most important that we would realize our need of you. We would realize that, Lord, that without you, we can do absolutely nothing. And Lord, I pray as we look at this message of being grateful, of being thankful, Lord, that it would take us to the time of when we seen you on the tree and we came to know you. And we were so thankful at that time. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. There, I heard of a story, and I would like you to really listen to the words of the story. And this is not what happened to me yesterday on Roxy, because she was gentle to me, the beautiful horse that she is. But I want you to think of the words of this story as I read it. It says, two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the fence, and the enraged bull followed them in hot pursuit. And it was apparent that they weren't going to make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, send up a prayer, John. Says, I can't. John says, I can't. I said, I've never ever prayed public in my life. But you have to, he said, his friend. All right, John said, I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my dad used to repeat at the table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. You know, and is that kind of like us always saying the same prayer? Always, you know, Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for what we're about to partake. And it seems to get almost into a vain repetition because we kind of always say the same things. I know at our table I try to change things up a little bit. Not just for me, but to be thankful for more things. We need to realize that no matter what we get, no matter what happens, we need to be thankful. And I don't know who's making fun of the bull, but he got exactly what he deserved. We have to understand that God did so much for us, and we need to truly be thankful for what God has done for us. Even if we take ourselves back to the cross, back to that time when we were a sinner, we didn't want, I know I didn't do want anything to do with God. I was raised in a Catholic home. It was do right, do this, do right, do this, do right, do this, and go through the motions. You go to church, it was an exercise, you lost 10 pounds and out the door you go. It was not that you had to understand what God did for you. And at that point, I was 22 years old. Micah was just 6 months old. At that time, I realized my state. I realized that God, Jesus Christ, died for my sins. And the only way, as I look at a GPS, the only way to get to heaven, to get to that destination, was through Jesus Christ. We trust our GPS. I explain this to the kids in VBS. We trust our GPS. When I come up here, I hit McSwiggins, it better take me to their doorstep, because I'm following every route it takes. I use my GPS about 15 times a day for my job, and there are times when I have to go to a farmer's field and it says your destination's on the left. There is no destination on the left. It's an open field. And you know, the devil wants us to be into that open field. The devil doesn't want us to find that right track to get to God, to understand that we need God. And most Christians don't pray regular. Most Christians don't even pray over their meal. They just eat. They're not even thankful for that. There was a study done in the States, and 42% of Christians in the States don't even pray over their meal. You know, it reminds me of a story of a boy and his mom that were in a shopping store, and the boy was having his normal temper tantrum that boys have or girls have when they want something, and they're sitting in the cart, and they're freaking out. They want something. This little boy wanted this orange. He's seen this orange, it was perfect, it was round, it was beautiful, and he wanted this orange. And he kept complaining. And this older man about Pastor Mike's age walked by him and picked up this orange and gave it to the boy. And the mom looked at him and said, son, what do you say to the nice man? Peel it. We're just not thankful. We are not a thankful people. It is not our nature to be thankful for what we have. I think of even, we take so much for granted. I think of the safety even coming up here, driving on that 400 North Highway, which is probably the worst highway I hear, and driving and being totally safe. I have buddies that are in the heavy tow. Steve's towing Sonny. I see him all the time. He's a great guy, but their life is at danger. Tows, police, ambulance, nobody pulls over for them. They are in strict danger. And we have to understand that we need to be thankful for them as well. And you know, these men realized that they were in an awful position. 10 men realized that they were in an awful position, and they seen that they needed Jesus Christ. They seen that they were in pain. They seen that nothing was going to heal them. Nothing was going to make them better except for Jesus Christ. All 10 of them seen that. Every single one. These men, as we mentioned, were separated away from their friends, away from their family. They're in their own little community, own little housing, whatever it may have been back then. But these people were put together and far off from the city because they were highly contagious. They could not live with family, or the family would get it. Friends would get it. They couldn't come to church. They couldn't fellowship. They were in a horrible, horrible position. And nobody would come to visit them at all. Now let's think of our seniors for a moment. How many of us actually go visit our seniors? We have nursing homes. We have retirement centers. Those seniors are what gave us what we have today. I love our seniors. We have a nursing home ministry. I love our seniors. I get to go there once in a while now to teach them and be with them. I bring my kids. They sing. They just kiss them nonstop. They love them. And, you know, we need to be thankful for our seniors. But these people, these ones, these 10, nobody goes to see them because people would go down the street and they would scream and shout, unclean, unclean, to warn people that these people were set off for a reason. They were set off over there because they were highly contagious. But, you know, sin kind of puts us in an awful spot as well. Sin separates us from a heavenly Father that loves us. Sin separates us from our opportunity of coming to know Jesus Christ. The devil keeps us apart, saying, no, you don't need that. No, you don't want that. I talked to a girl yesterday. I think she's 14. I might be wrong. 13, 14. And she doesn't want to give up stuff. And I tried to explain to her, look, you're not giving up anything. You're gaining everything. But they don't understand that yet. She doesn't understand that she can't. She thinks she has to get rid of all her friends. She has to dress different, look different, everything. But no, God will change your heart. God will. I told her, I said, you know what? All those friends, as soon as you become a Christian, they're not going to be my friends with you anyway. And I said, you know what? You're going to be the lighthouse to reach them. And God's going to give you new friends in a church that loves God and that wants to see you grow. Our church family loves to see our teenagers and watch them get in front and do memory verses and sing and watch them grow each and every Sunday. Every Sunday morning, we have our little ones from ages 11 and down that come up and do memory verses every morning. Our people love that, and it's great to see them. But sin puts us in an awful spot. And as we notice that, but notice of all of them, the prayer of all of them, they all said the exact same prayer. Every one of them. Every one of them knew that the only way they're going to get healed and get rid of that is by Jesus Christ. Everyone knew that. Wouldn't it be great if everybody in Wasaga Beach, and if I said that wrong, I'm really sorry because I'm a city person now, but everybody in Wasaga Beach knew that they needed Jesus Christ. This place would be packed. It would be packed. We'd have outdoor parking lot services if everybody knew. You'd just be picking them like fresh fruit. But it's not. We have to work. We have to go out. We have to get them. We need to evangelize. We need to tell people. But they all seen their need of Jesus Christ. And they all sensed their need of Jesus Christ. They knew the only way they were going to get healed was by Him. But you know what? They all said the prayer. Every single one of them said the prayer. But you know what? Prayer without obedience is absolutely useless. Prayer without obedience is useless. If we're going to pray that we want to fill our church buildings and that we need people to go out and evangelize and flood the area and hand out tracts, we're praying for that. But if we don't do that, how are we going to get our buildings full? They're not going to just drive in and say, hey, how's it going? They don't do that. Most people see a church and they go left. They don't turn in and go right. We need to pray, but we also need to go out and do it. And these people sensed that. They knew that they prayed and that they needed to go to Jesus Christ. But look, it was the praise of one. Only one praised them. Praised Jesus Christ. Only one of them realized the person. Only one realized Jesus Christ was the one that healed them. The priest was just to give them a certificate to say that you're clean. It's not like the priest today. The priest was saying, hey, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're clean. Here's your certificate. You get to go back to your family. Nine of them took off and went to their family. Nine of them took off and went back and hugged their wife and kissed their children and got to go back maybe into their church building or got to go back home and live a so-called normal life again. But isn't that like us? We got salvation. We're clean of our sins. But Pastor Mike and I talked about that yesterday. If every single person that come to know the Lord that were in church were still in church today, we would need massive buildings. We need massive, huge buildings. We would need three churches up here alone, not one. But think about that. That's what happens, though. We get what we want, and then we go our own way. We go back to the way that we want to live. We want to do our job. We want to make the money. We want to do what we want to do. We want to watch our kids. We want to do all of this. But they don't understand, and people here, and same within Hamilton, they don't understand what you get to do for Jesus Christ. It's not what you have to do. You get to do it. I love telling people about Jesus Christ. I can't get enough of it. My kids get irritated with me because we'll be in Walmart at Canadian Tire. I go in with three tracks. I don't leave till all three tracks are gone. Cashier normally gets them because that's the longest time I get to talk. I always ask to find something even if I know where it is because then I get an opportunity to take that person and then some strange person that has a kid will get the other one. Those are my goals. And my kids hate it because it's an hour trip every single time. But you know what? I get to tell them that because you know what? Sometimes you have to think is that Pastor Mike is going to be the only Bible that someone's going to see out there. Sir, in the back, you're going to be the only Bible at your work that someone's going to read. We all are like that in our workplaces. We are the only Bible. And if we don't have the right attitude, and if we don't show that we love God, they're not going to want what we have. They're not. They're just going to say, you have that? No, I don't want that. If we're walking around with a smile on our face all the time, they're going to go, you're weird. What do you got? And it's true because we should be walking around with a huge smile no matter what happens to us. But it's the praise of one. One of them realized that they needed Jesus Christ and went back. You know, this is the key to the whole issue. Is that all were in the same awful position. Every single one of them. It says that in the Bible that they lifted up their voices and said to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Every single one. I don't understand. Every single one of them saw it. And he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went. As they were doing exactly what Jesus Christ said to do, they were healed. They were just going to the priest to get that certificate. That's the way I read it, is that as they went, they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He turned around. He got that certificate and he trucked back to Jesus Christ. He was flying. You know, when it turned around, if I do a U-ey out here, I'm going from one direction and I'm heading the other. He turned around. It's almost like he repented. He turned from where he was and he went right back. He didn't go back to his family right away. Bible doesn't even say he went back. He said he went to Jesus Christ and to give him thanks. He fell down on his face at his feet. Isn't that how we all came? Every one of us fell down in front of Jesus Christ, in front of the cross, and asked for forgiveness of our sins. We thanked Jesus for what he did for us when he saved us. This man fell down at his feet, giving thanksgiving to the Lord. The praise, the opportunity he had, he seen and he took it. The other nine didn't. The other nine just wanted to be healed. They just wanted their salvation. They just wanted to know that, hey, I'm going to heaven when I die. And unfortunately, that's a lot of people in our churches today that have left. Is, hey, I got what I need out of it, and I'm out. You know, my generation, I am 40 now. And my generation and younger, try to get them to tithe. Good luck. 10%? Are you crazy? I worked hard to get that. Yeah? Bible says 10%. You're crazy. Where does that money go? Just to the pastor. He makes it all. No. They don't make enough. I think every pastor should be six figures for what they deal with. Honest to goodness, mine too. When it comes to people, you call him at 3 o'clock in the morning, he's up. You call a police officer, they're on duty, they're up, they're going. They're both 24 hours. I know if I called him at 6 o'clock in the morning, guaranteed that man would drive to Hamilton if I needed him. I know he would. We don't give the opportunity to take the time to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this building that we get to meet in. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the 30 kids that are at VBS. Thank you. We had between 80 and 100. We closed out with 113 with parents. Thank you. They got the gospel. We planted the seed. Now it's our job to follow up. We need to water that. We need to water that consistently. We need to be over in that area, whichever way it is, because I don't know where I am. But in our area, it's behind our church. We need to be in there. We need to water, 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 water. Because you know what? We are the only ones that are going to go in there. In our area, it's total gear to income. It's the lowest of the low. I counseled a 12-year-old, just on a side note, her mom kicks her out of the house. There's a cemetery beside her, and that's where she sleeps when mom kicks her out. 12 years old. 12. When I was 12, my grandparents didn't know where I was, they sent out a search party for me. But they kicked her out, and she sleeps in a cemetery. I had the joys of leading that 12-year-old to Jesus Christ. She has more track marks on her arms than I've ever seen. And I counsel at MAC at the psychiatric ward, part of my ministry with youth. And I've never seen that many cut marks on her arms as I have in that hospital, probably put all together. It's sad. We have a generation of parents that don't want to be parents. We have a generation of children that have no direction. And as soon as a pretty young girl sees a guy that's going to pay any attention, it's game over. It's game over. They're going to be 18 on the street, welfare on the system, drugs, alcohol. We got to get them in. We got to open those doors. We got to get them here. Through them, we're going to reach the parents. That's the only way, because the parents are already stuck in their ways. When they see a change, and the 12-year-old girl, mom called me, they gave her my number, she ever runs into issues and wants to talk. Her mom called me and said, I don't know what you did to my 12-year-old, but she's a total different kid. Awesome. That's called Jesus Christ. That's the one that changed that kid, not me. I just showed her how to get there. I was the GPS to direct that child right to God. It was amazing. So now I have the opportunity to go over and talk to mom. Broken home, 7 children, 5 different dads. It's a train wreck. It really is. But now I have the opportunity to go in there, and I'm thankful. And you know what? I give that praise to the Lord, because it's Him. Me doing what I'm supposed to do got to reach that 12-year-old. So I'm thankful. And this was the opportunity that this one guy took. This one man seen the object of praise, which was Jesus Christ, and says, I'm going back. I'm healed. I know it's from Him. I seen my need. He showed me who I needed, and I'm taking it. And he went back. He did not forget the blesser. He didn't forget Jesus Christ. Where's the other 9? It's interesting. I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a Bible scholar, but we don't hear any more of them. The other nine don't even get a name. We have no idea what happened to them. They went out and did their own thing. But God put in the Bible that that one came back and gave them thanks. And Jesus answered and said, "God, buddy, was there not 10 of you? Was there not 10 that came that seen their need to be cleansed? Where are they? Where are those other 9? What I did for them, where are they?" And I'm totally paraphrasing. But they couldn't be found. They didn't give glory to God. And Jesus said, "Save this stranger." And he said, "Arise and go thy way." And it's interesting, he says, thy faith hath made thee whole. It's faith. That's what it's about, is our faith in Jesus Christ. I've been dealing with a back issue since I moved to Hamilton, 5 years, that I've had probably 50 surgeries on my back. I take a boatload of medication, 20 pills a day, so I can stand up and get up and get going in the day. But you know what? I'm thankful. I am truly, truly thankful. Because in waiting rooms, my different surgeons, the different people I get to see, I get to talk to them about Jesus Christ. I'm awake for all my procedures they do on me. So I get to talk to them because they're not going anywhere. My back's open. They're messing around. They're doing their thing. They ain't going anywhere. I get an hour and 45 minutes each time to talk about Jesus Christ to my little Chinese doctor. He's awesome. I love the guy. And I made him a deal. I said, "You fix me so I can walk and not have pain. You're coming to church." And a couple Sundays ago, he came to church. And I just bawled to see that little guy come in and walk in, and he wore his scrubs so I could point him out so I knew who he was. But he came, and he heard the gospel from the pulpit and seen a church full of people that love the Lord and love our pastor. It's not about tradition. It's not about the ups and downs in a church. And the Christian life's not perfect. It's not. But it's what you do with it and what you do with Jesus Christ. Be faithful. Be thankful, most important. Be thankful for everything you get. Because it's not us getting it. I work hard. They pay me well. But God gave me that job. God's given me a house that we just bought in Hamilton that we take possession in 10 days. My wife's packing. She's going crazy. But God gave us that house because we got it under asking. And everything we want, which doesn't happen in this market right now, as you know up here, that's God. Please don't forget and be thankful for what God has given you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. And Lord, I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to come up and to talk to these people. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all, Lord, that we would just be thankful, that we'd be grateful for what you got, what you've given to us. And Lord, I'm thankful for Pastor Mike and his willingness, Lord, to leave Tilsonburg and to come up and to lead these people. Lord, I pray these people would stand up. I pray they would stand behind the pastor that you have given them and be thankful, be grateful, Lord, and most important, to help where help is needed. Ministry's tough, and we need workers in every church. When it comes to the smallest church of 5 to the greatest church of 2,000, we need workers. And Lord, I pray that they would step up because they're thankful for what you have given to them. And Lord, I'm so thankful. And as we continue, I pray that the bus is full today. I pray that those kids would come that we got to see yesterday. And as we teach downstairs, that, Lord, that one of them, Lord, please, one of them would come to know you. And Lord, as Pastor Mike preaches up here, and Lord, if anybody is not saved, I pray today they would come. Or if there's sin in their life, maybe even ungratefulness, that they would get that right this morning. I'm so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Mike.